The K Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
It's always special, you know, when we, you know, get together and welcome back one of the giants of our sound, the elders who continue to move the jazz language forward. Our guest today needs little introduction. Of course, he's a saxophonist, composer, producer, cultural thinker, and one of the most profound creative voices in South African music. And the last time he and I got together, he had just released Entlizweni, a record that dug deep into our spiritual and musical connectedness. And now he's back. You know, his 11th studio project, a sonic meditation that jazz writer Gwen Ansell describes as not American, copycat, or retro, but absolutely of this place and of this time. Welcome back to the KJS Show.
Thanks, Marco. Good to be here.
It is always a joy having you here. You know, Steve, Multipolar is absolutely not American, copycat, or retro, unquote, but it's firmly rooted, you know, in South African soil. What does that mean to you? And maybe how do you consciously assert, you know, this musical identity into your work?
What it means, Marco, is authenticity. You know, as a composer, as a musician, what we do to have the most value, in my opinion, is to subconsciously elucidate what we are feeling. So it's not a conscious decision like, right now I'm going to be authentic and I'm going to play like this or like that or the next thing. It's just like the review says, of this place and of this time. So, you know, it's important for me to not be yesterday's man, not just to look backwards, but also there's so many things happening in South African jazz today, South African improvised music, and I want to tap into that as well. So I'm saying something about our time with the historical roots that I have that hopefully come through in the music as well.
Mm. I mean, the project, you know, feels like both a meditation and a movement. I mean, with tracks like Revolving Earth, which invite, I suppose, a reflection on the fragile planet that we live in, but also, you know, the rhythm and chant. Was that the balance, I suppose, between spiritual contemplation and the groove intentional from the start?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't want to play boring music. And so sometimes when you look back, I think there's a new energy in the air now, and I think that's African music and South African music. It's based a lot on rhythm, and so always my intention, it seems, to gravitate towards this thing of creating African rhythms that I'm familiar with and then overlaying them with something maybe that's unusual. And so with Revolving Earth, yes, I wanted to remind people, Revolving Earth for me is a snapshot, a musical snapshot from outer space, looking at our tiny, fragile planet. Because I've heard that when humans go into space and they look at the planet, there's something transformative that happens to them. And they realize that life is so much more expansive than all those problems and prejudices and just feelings of not being connected to each other. That's where people resolve those issues. Well, unfortunately, not every one of us can afford to go into space. So this is like a creative snapshot of that, just to say, listen, we are on this tiny planet in a massive, massive universe. And it's about time that we recognized our interconnectedness, not just with ourselves, but with our plants, with our trees, and with our universe at large.
You know, I'm listening to you speak now, and I'm thinking about, you know, there's a line on the project that says, to another place where we can see things that don't have to be this way, you know, the way that they are anyway, which made me pay attention. A powerful idea, Steve. Is that then, maybe, if we can call it that, the philosophical heart of multipolar?
Yes, because multipolar for me is a deviation from the unipolar world we've been living in which, like the Western ways of doing things, the way we dress, the way we think, we've been told that first world civilization is Western. Now what is happening is that inevitably there are different centers of power in the world evolving, of which Africa is one. And so this is a liberatory moment, not just politically, but socially and culturally, that I'm trying to reflect, because I feel that even though there are so many problems in the world, I believe the shift is inevitable. And if one has to look at South Africa in its historical context, it's a feeling that finally the chains are broken. No matter what the problems we face as a nation in terms of, okay, it's violent society, breakdown of civil society, I think we tend not to always to also look at culturally what is happening. I mean, like you know, in terms of music and in terms of a sense of self, sense of identity, and a sense of progressive trajectory. That is what I am trying to tap into. And I think that my basic nature is optimism. And so I've tried to create something that feels good to listen to, but it also has the depth of history, of recognition of where we've been, and an opportunity of where we can be going to.
Kofifi FM, we are in the company of Steve Dyer this Sunday, and he's joining us from across the seas. He's on tour, and we're only grateful that he was able to take a moment to spend time on today's edition with us, of course, as we unpack his latest project, Multipolar, on the K-Jazz Show. Now, Steve, let's talk about Ubuntu. You know, it seems to run as a common theme through your music, a kind of, I guess, an ethical backbone. You know, how does that principle continue throughout all the projects, you know, shape your approach to composition and collaborations with the music that have brought life into your project? Let's reflect on that.
So I am an Anglo-African, and if I look at my culture, my historical culture, my ancestry, it comes from the United Kingdom, comes from Wales and a little bit of Germany. I'm a bit of a mongrel as far as that's concerned. But I'm blessed to have been born in Africa. And Ubuntu for me is not just for South Africans and not just for Africans, but it is a message for the rest of the world. The challenge that we have with Ubuntu is that because it's been largely an oral tradition handed down by generation to generation and taken for granted in terms of human interaction, you know, people will say, indigenous African people will say, it comes naturally to us. This is what we are. But I find that there are not many people that delve deeper into the concept of Ubuntu rather than, okay, Ubuntu Ubuntu ngabantu or Motuki Motuka Bantu. And so my interest took me to doing some research into Ubuntu, and I have a guru, and his name is Professor Ramose. He's written a book, African Philosophy Through Ubuntu. It's not very easily accessible, but I've learned so much from that in delving deeper into the concept. And his viewpoint is that it has a long past, it is present, and it has a future. And one of the basic things that I regard with regard to Ubuntu, because it's much maligned in many circles, people say, no, we've lost that spirit. What is the relevance of it now? And my response to that is that Ubuntu has not failed us. We have failed Ubuntu.
Let's move to the reimagined ancestral home, you know, from your earlier work down south in Africa, which, you know, is often described, I guess, as now as a compelling processional embroidered, you know, with rich textures. What drew you to revisit, you know, that piece on the project? And how is that meaning involved for you?
For me, Ngwako, the need to do it again is because I think a lot of the conflict in the world is due to relationships of human beings with their homes. And the longer that history, the more complicated that link can be. And so, you know, if historically you have belonged to the land, because I believe that, you know, we don't own land. The land owns us. And once you have that strong tie, if you look at the problems of the world, they often relate to this question of land. So my idea with ancestral home, ancestral land, it's quite a broad, like, landscape that I'm trying to evoke musically, and it's whether it's a personal or spiritual space that you occupy as your ancestral home, or it's a physical space. I'm just trying to conjure that up. And now, the first time I did that in down south of Africa, there was a kind of beat to the music, stronger, and it was faster. And so I just wanted to lay it easily back. So I just felt that there was something I could add, even though it's the same track. I kept the bass line because I think the bass line stands the test of time over all these years. So the bass line remains, but it's just a different treatment.
I'm fascinated, Prasteve, you know, by how you use textures, I suppose, rich, but always anchored in that thematic thread, you know, if we may call it that again. How do you strike the balance, I suppose, between wide imagination and the need to keep your emotional, I suppose the audience emotionally connected, you know, through the music.
Yeah, I think that many musicians' approach to composition is like, okay, we do a hit and then we maybe do a bridge and then we solo over the changes. And I've always been more interested, and I just seem to gravitate towards more complex arrangement. And, you know, don't take the audience for granted, because even though you might subtly not be able to describe it, the listener, if you take them on a journey and that journey has interest all the way, then they keep engaged. But if it's just like a cut and paste, okay, now it's a verse, and then I'm going to redo that verse later on in the song. You know, these are some of the production techniques as well. And I allude back to someone like Quincy Jones. Even if he was producing like a Michael Jackson track, he would always say that once you repeat a verse, do something different with the instrumentation around that. Even though the listener might not know, they will inherently hear that there's some development going on in the song. So, yeah, I believe I think it's journey music, you know, where I start off with a theme and I just let it flow into what makes sense to me. But texture, as you say, texture is really important for me.
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, you and I had this conversation informally when we got together that one night, and you were probably rather upset that I found you hiding in the wings because we were at that one festival, you know. And I want you to take us on a reflection, you know, of watching live music in South Africa and what your take is and what it looks like. You know, are we telling the right stories, Bob Steve? And I don't want you to feel like I'm putting you on the spot, but I think it's one of those necessary conversations to have with an elder. You know, when we look at the landscape of what South African jazz music looks like today, you know, what is it that we are maybe doing right? I don't want you to say we're doing it wrong, but we're doing it right, yes. But what is it that we can do better? Particularly when it comes to live music and of course, involving our audience and engaging our audience in the sense that, you know, audience development also means that we do not leave those that follow us behind, because there have always been instances, I guess, you know, when people say, I don't understand so-and-so's music anymore. You know, what is it that we're doing right, or what can we improve on, in your words, I guess?
For me, music is communication. And so as a performer, I've got to create something that, first of all, captivates the listener and also engages them. In order to do that, I've got to, you know, technique on the instrument, technique in whichever form, that's not the main component. So I find that a lot of young musicians are playing a lot of notes and maybe not really checking out the changes and different approaches that you can use, because your instrument is your voice. And yes, so let me liken it to a conversation. We have English now, all the words of English that we are, you know, going back and forth with. So the choice of the words is important. We choose the words carefully to try and emit what we feel. Now, if I just talk like this very fast and I say, you know, I've learned so many words in the past couple of days and I want to just tell you now and super, blah, 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 that is not a clear message. And so I would say one of the things is let every note be intentional and don't let the technique play the instrument. Wayne Shorter says, don't let the instrument play you. You must play the instrument. And I think there's a fundamental there that we need to look into. Mm-hmm.
We are one spirit, we are one destiny, we are one revolving world. We have one revolving world. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. Hey, yeah, 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 hey, yeah.
This Sunday on the K Jazz Show, of course, we sit at the feet of South African jazz maestro who joins us. Of course, he is here to talk about his latest project, Multipolar, of course. And I'm also talking about the things that we really want to get from our elder. You know, it really is a blessing that we get to spend time with our elder every other time, you know. And he responded, you know, to our call this week, you know, to reflect on this project. And of course, we also listen closely to Brastief because he is sharing gems. And of course, I understand that every now and then jazz musicians, you know, tap into the K Jazz Show to listen closely to what, you know, our elders have to say, particularly when we, you know, say, you know, they are coming on the show. And of course, this is a musical treat. Of course, we've been listening to the music, and as always, you know, we're listening closely to, you know, the nuggets that they have to share. Now, Brastief, your collaborators on the new project, Aboshane Cooper, Tebinkosi Mavimbela, Michael Nguna, you know, the Resonance Quartet, and so many others, you know, seem to share a deep synergy with you. And, you know, how do you, I think maybe let's ask it this way, how do you curate the kind of ensemble, you know, chemistry when everybody supposedly, and maybe even not even supposedly, but how do you curate an ensemble where everybody feels a part of that one vision? Yeah, Brastief.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a question. I take time. I take time to think which musicians are going to really tap into what I'm trying to say. And in as far as this project is concerned, you know, there's a lot of piano on the album, and I must have a big, strong shout out to Teboho Kobedi. For his contribution, because he came in earlier on in the project and we sat down, just the two of us, going through some stuff. And so he was there in the formative stages. I think it relates also back to a leadership style. You know, my intention, I want everybody that I'm playing with to sound at the very best that they can. And so I don't want anyone on stage to think, wow, does Brastief want me to do this or that or the next thing? No. I pick the musician and then I say, run with what you feel in the track. So that everyone must feel that they're giving of their own. And that's where you get the generosity and you get the compositions moving in a direction that you might have not envisaged before. because no one single mind can have it all, have all the answers. And so that interplay, for example, like, you know, a lot of the tracks are, yes, with Michael Nkuna. Emin's great. He's a young lion, you know, very lyrical player. I love that. And in terms of the, you know, when you're in horn players, we never have to say, hey, let's tune up properly. Now I think you're out of tune, or look, try it this way. Or just the inflection a lot of the time is very natural. And this is what helps is playing this music with musicians from South Africa largely, that really helps, because there's an unspoken code that we all seem to gravitate around that makes the music more powerful.
I guess so. And of course, we hear it evidently, you know, in the playing and the collective and how everything comes together when we listen to the project. It is absolutely called Multipolar, and it's a brand new project from Bob Steve Dye. And he's joining us this Sunday here on Coffee FM 97.2. And of course, if we had to then take a personal reflection, Bob Steve, you know, if Intlezweni, let's get that right, you know, was about being of the heart. Multipolar is about balance and multiplicity. You know, what would you say the album has taught you personally and as an artist and elder, you know, being in the South African jazz space in 2035?
What I think is that I took some chances. I think it's more expansive and freer. Intlezweni was more like individual chapters of a book, just relating to my homeland. I think Multipolar is, it's more outward looking. And yeah, I think that, what can I say, it's something that of it's of its time. And I think you just got to listen to the music.
Because my next thing was, let's then, you know, let our listeners know, you know, what to expect on or off Multipolar, you know, a new awareness, a sense of healing, or maybe just a groove, you know, that keeps staying with them, you know, and their bones as we head into what we call in South Africa the proverbial festive season, the silly season, as opposed.
Yeah, I would think it's important for me. I take a long time to create these textures, and one of the comments that I've had is that, look, I've listened to this track quite a lot of times, and it's only on maybe the fifth time I listen or the sixth, I'm hearing something different. And so that is the important thing for me to maybe impart the thing that it was just, it's not a question of just going into a composition and brushing it off very lightly. All that I do, I try and do with the utmost integrity, and if that can transmit, then I'm a happy man.
Well, we are happy listeners, and of course we continue, you know, to share the story here on Coffee FM 97.2. And of course, you know, before you and I part ways, you know, this Sunday, you know, I want to celebrate, I think, you know, the legacy that you've laid on the ground. So many people talk to us about how, you know, you've been such an inspiration, and there are those that come around and say, but, you know, you know Bob Steve, what is Bob Steve like, you know, and how does he do his work? I suppose let's demystify if we can call it that. Let's demystify, you know, what it means, or what it sounds like, or what it looks like when Bob Steve composes music, and maybe what they kind of want to aspire to, you know, and how does it all come together? Because I don't think you and I have had that conversation.
Yes. First of all, my family is very important to me. I have three Ubuntu-fied kids. As you know, Bokani, in music. My daughter is also in music. My second born son, he decided, no, this is not for me. And he is a sales manager somewhere. But we retain contact with each other. And I think to your point, It's a question of continual regrowth and renewal. And so a lot of my energy is spent listening to younger voices. And in that way, you don't stagnate. So I think the cultural circles for me and family circles that can spread out into the wider music world, you know, we are all doing different things in our own sweet ways across the board in music, and the more we can be positive about the relationships that we share, that for me is important. So before I'm a musician, I'm a human being, and so I try and translate my life philosophy and the ability to be a force for good that people like, almost prophet like John Coltrane. When I listen to him, I think of goodness in the world. I think of, but not just goodness, but artistic integrity and striving for something in a disciplined way. You know, my day starts early. I go into the studio daily. Yeah, I'm a morning person. Go in and I have the luxury of having a studio where I can make a noise at any time of day or night. And I realize that other musicians don't. And I've had that situation before where, you know, you really want to play, but you don't have that physical luxury of doing it. So I think it's the consistency. I'm disciplined in kind of trying to better myself day after day. And I look on myself as a lifelong learner. And so in terms of music, you have to be resilient, because people can look on you at you on stage and think, wow, this is the life. But believe me, that life, it takes a lot of dedication, but I wouldn't want to change it for the world.
Thank you so much for sharing those nuggets. And I hope you're listening, Kofifi FM, you know, as Bob Steve, who has a brand new project, which is called Multipolar, which is also available right now. It's not just an album. It is a journey through sound, soul, and spirit. And of course, if you've ever wondered what the world could sound like when the balance is restored, this is that project. Because Bob Steve, thank you so much, you know, for once again reminding us that music is not just to be heard, it is to be lived.
No, thanks so much. And shout out to all your listeners and you for what you do and your contribution, because it's a sizable one in terms of spreading the word and getting music of depth out there to listeners from whatever genre and whatever age group they come from. Ke a leboga.
Of course, the Sunday saxophonist, band leader, composer, and longtime friend of Sundays at Kofifi. His name is Steve Dyer. And of course, he was on the Gay Jazz Show.